The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Many of the 5,000 people Jesus fed in the wilderness continued to follow him throughout the countryside. Jesus challenges them to consider the real nature of their quest. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We have a special meal today. It's a gathering. The chicken barbecue, a meal that reminds us of communion and community, the way that God intended. My husband had a recent story that I'd like to share with y'all, where he was traveling for business and stayed in a hotel with a famous restaurant on the first floor. They were known for their steaks. He was by himself, and so he just ordered the steak up to the room, and he said, "The steak was very nice, but it just didn't live up to the hype." And many of you may have had the same experience if you were traveling for business, or if you found yourself in a place, like many of us do, where you were eating alone. The meal probably tasted differently than it does when you're eating with friends. And so that's why our chicken barbecue meal today is so special, because it's a reminder of that communion. That's because while food is functional and essential for life, it is also a social activity. Many people, when they're celebrating or when they simply want to meet up together, go out for a meal. The finest meal in the best hotel doesn't amount to much if it's eaten alone in your room. We need each other to experience the full measure of the abundant feast that God provides us in life. One of my favorite biblical images of life after death is that of a great feast, a resurrection banquet. Jesus told a story about a banquet given by God, where the table groans under the weight of good food, and glasses overflow with good wine. But it isn't a meal taken in isolation. In a hotel room or at a table for one, the image is of a long table with plenty of people thoroughly enjoying themselves and the food and engaging in social activity with each other. And this amazing meal isn't invite only, it's open to everyone who believes. When Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, he's also suggesting that there's a strong communal aspect to Christianity. Christianity, like food, can be enjoyed and sustain life alone. Yet both food and faith lose a huge dimension of enjoyment and purpose that way. They become simply staple food and faith. To really enjoy the benefits of the bread of life, we need to consume food and faith together. We need to share our experiences, meals, our worship, our Christianity. When the people came searching for Jesus again, he was well aware they were looking for more food. Very truly, he said, "I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They were a people who relied on the harvest and who knew what it was to suffer from drought and therefore to go hungry. They couldn't see past the fact that Jesus had actually produced abundant food for them in a land that traditionally provided very little. They were unable to see Jesus' miracle as pointing them to himself, to God, and to the community of faith. All they wanted was more food, more bread, more miracles for themselves. Jesus sighs over their lack of insight, their failure to see beyond their physical needs. But he starts from where they are. He builds on the little awareness they have and pushes them always toward a deeper knowledge of God, the provider of all. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." God wants to provide for them in an unsuspected way. God wants to provide for them in a way so that they can have their fill even when Jesus isn't physically there. So they say to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" His answer is really good news. God's gift of bread, which never fails, which is always there, which lasts forever, is given to them free of charge. They only have to believe in Jesus. They don't have to change. They don't have to accomplish anything. They only have to believe. The communion meal embodies much of what Jesus is teaching us today. It is the meal where we consume Jesus, the bread and blood of life, and in faith receive our full salvation. It is the meal that joins us together as one community, where we can enjoy and share the abundant gifts and miracles of God. It is also a meal that is completely free, given to sinners like you and me, even from the beginning. When a pastor officiates over the communion meal, you might notice the opening sentence. We say, "In the night in which he was betrayed." Sometimes it might seem a trivial point to make, maybe even one that could be removed so that we don't have to think of the unpleasantness of the crucifixion. But when we consider those words before the meal, we realize that in the night in which Jesus gave himself up as the bread of life, the very people he gave himself to were sinners. That very night, Judas was going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter was going to deny him 3 times to save his own life. The remaining disciples who weren't mentioned in the gospel account would run, hide, and deny their leader, their friend. They all fled and doubted him, each in their own way. It was on that night and to those sinful people that Jesus says, "Take my body and eat, take my blood and drink. I love you, I forgive you. I give you the abundant feast of the resurrection banquet, even though you have failed me and betrayed me, even though you don't deserve it." And this gift is still the same today. In the night in which we sell Jesus for money, deny we know him, and run and hide in fear. In that night and to us, Jesus says in this meal, "I love you, I forgive you, I give you the abundant feast of the resurrection banquet." In order to receive this abundant gift from the hands of God, we only have to believe in Jesus. We live in a hungry world. In nature, almost everything has its mouth open, from the smallest baby birds in their nest on your porch, to the great soaring eagle, from the smallest minnow in a stream, to the giant whale in the sea, from the mouse to the hippopotamus. Our human family shares this elemental physical need. We too are conscious of natural hunger. But we are aware also of a higher hunger, the hunger of the heart for meaning, for purpose, for hope. Christ answers both physical and higher hungers. "I am the bread of life," he says. He feeds us at communion. He feeds us in faith. He gives us everything that we will ever need. Let us pray. God, our Creator, you are the bread of life. You have ordered seed time and harvest, sunshine and rain. Give to all who work the land fair compensation for the work of their hands. Grant that the people of this and every nation may give thanks to you for food, drink, and all that sustains life, as well as the community and faith that make life abundant. May we use with care the land and water from which these good things come, and may we honor the laborers who produce them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.